In Hebrews 11:1, we see now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Therefore, faith is real. I mean, second, faith is the evidence of things not seen. The New American Standard Bible says the conviction of things not seen. The vital point is that faith deals with things we cannot see. So the first point in this faith versus sight is that faith doesn't deal with what is seen. Faith deals with what is unseen, because faith in itself is sight. And so in order for sight to work, it's not a matter of what it looks upon. It's a matter of what it's connected to and the fact it can perceive it. If faith were our eyes, if there were really no connection into our brain, and our brain have the logic and the matter to reason, everything that's apparent before us would mean absolutely nothing. Because first of all, we need to learn from what we see. That is why when children see a little animal, a little furry animal, they ask what it is. You say cat, they lodge that in their computer. Now they learn a whole lot faster than we do, so after asking only two or three times, they feed that computer. And next time they know that that little thing that looks like that furry little ball with that long little tail on it close to the ground is called a cat. They have no reference to what a cat might be like to any other animal, but they do know the names of things as they begin to perceive them. So now when they see this object, it's not important that they know that it's a cat. They have just found a place in their mind to put that object that they're looking at and differentiate it from other things. Now, faith is that capacity to see. And we have to learn to connect faith to our spirit, because faith is the capacity to see. Faith is the eyes that see. But there's two things that need to happen. Behind those eyes, faith needs to work with something. Something needs to be the brain of faith. And to be able to lodge all that information, perceive it and receive it and work with it, faith has to have something, a brain. And so we're going to talk about the brain of faith, and it's no wonder that doctors will tell you that the heart has a brain of its own, a mind of its own. Faith is not connected with our brain. We'll see that later when we look into faith versus hope. I'm just laying the background right now. But faith versus sight is that faith is that eye that we have that's connected to the heart, that's able to see into areas that are invisible to our outward eye. When Jesus spoke of ears that could hear but not hear, he was talking about the ear that is connected to the heart versus the ear that's connected to your head. Because the ear that's connected to your head can take the sounds into your brain and discern what they are. Whereas the hearing that comes from the heart is very closely connected to faith. And the hearing that's connected to the heart has to do with the receiving of the Word of God. Now, think of it this way. We receive sounds into our ear, but we're really not receiving it. They're impacting our ear, and we are determining what those sounds are meaning. But we haven't received them. We haven't taken them and received it. But our brain has taken what we have heard, and it's received it on itself, and it's determined that what we have heard are these words that you're hearing now. That's what you're hearing with the outward ear. Now, the inward ear is connected to the heart and is connected to the spirit. And the perhaps the difference is that when the inner ears hear what God is saying or the words that are being said, it puts it into the heart rather than the brain, because the brain is going to determine what it's listening to. The heart is going to determine what to do with what it's listening to. You see, all the issues of life come forth from the heart. The heart makes all the major decisions. You see, we make the decisions. If your heart is bent towards something, if somebody comes and tells you if you think they should marry someone, first thing you should ask them if they're involved with them. Because if the heart's involved, it's already made up its mind. How many of you know that when somebody really made up their mind that they're going to do something, it's impossible to change their mind? they have to change their mind in order to stop doing what they're going to do. Because if a person has a mind to do something, you cannot alter it. You cannot change it. Look, they try to brainwash people, and they can do that. But when they try to heartwash people, and that is change their convictions, they find it impossible. A Christian will be martyred and burned to a stake, but he'll be burning to a stake praying to his God. You're not going to change his convictions because the heart made that choice. So the ear hears the word, and when it impacts the heart makes the decision of what to do with it. When the ear hears the word on the brain determines what it is that you're listening to. So the brain lets you understand in a way, not understand, but the brain lets you know what you're listening to. The heart lets you understand truly what it is that's being asked of you. Because every word of God that comes to us in life, it comes to us with only one purpose, as instructions for us to do the next thing. So every word of God is instructions. And so the heart has to hear it because it's the one that follows instructions. It's the one that can get all the rest of us, contrary to how we feel or how tired we are. Our heart is the one that can inevitably make us do what it is it's heard that we should do, the instructions that it has received. Now, our brain sometimes can get to where it doesn't listen if it doesn't want to. Have you ever been in a situation where there's a whole bunch of people talking? An easy time for this is a restaurant. There's just all kinds of chitter-chatter all around you. Did you notice that if you want to hear a conversation 10 tables away, you can actually get in on the conversation, find out everything they're saying? But by doing that, you're tuning out 40 other people on the other tables that are surrounding you because you've chosen to not listen. And so you could be talking, but somebody's either gone with their brain somewhere else or they're doing something else with their brain or they just plain don't want to listen to you. And so we have a way, we call it tuning out. We have a way of tuning people out or tuning voices out or tuning things out we don't really want to hear. That comes in real handy if somebody's really verbally abusing you. Just shut down. Yes, they're impacting your brain, but no, your brain pulled the curtain down and saying, I'm sorry, I'm out of business, okay? I'm just not perceiving these words. I'm just not taking them in. The heart, on the other hand, has nothing to do with it because if your brain takes it in and the heart really hears it and it's hearing all this abuse, it's going to do something about it and it has to make a choice right then to give over to the spirit of anger and the spirit of murder and the spirit of whatever and violence and you know, plug five knuckles into the guy's mouth or gal's mouth or whatever. Or it's going to make a decision like, you know what? I'm just going to sit here and be hurt over this the rest of my life and get bitter over it. See, all these choices are choices that the heart makes. It gets the information. It just decides what it's going to do with it. And once you decide, you're going to go ahead with that because that's what we decide. Now, here's where we come back to faith. Faith, I explained all about ears because then it's easier for us to understand the principle of faith. Faith sees where our natural eye cannot see. It is the eyeball of the soul that looks into the world of the spirit. Now, faith is very strange because though it has sight and can see, it gets turned on not by what it sees as much as by what it hears. Now, let me put it together. The ears and the eyes of our soul are the two strong matters of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when there is something spoken of the word of God, faith becomes active. Faith has to become active, and because it's an eyeball, when hearing activates faith, faith starts seeing. Faith starts looking. Now, the problem we have is that the eyeballs of our spirit, of our heart, and the eyeballs of our head are almost always in conflict with one another. Because the eyes of our head can only see things that have to do with the five-sense world that we're living in, or for the world that we're living in, whereas the eyes of faith don't see here. They're blind to this world. Just like our natural eyes are blind to the world of God, and he has to actually open it up to you, like in an open vision or closed vision or in a dream, whatever the case might be. But if God didn't give you passage into that world, these eyes cannot see into the invisible world. They can only see the visible. Faith cannot see the visible world. It has to hear a command from God. It has to hear an instruction from God. It has to hear words from God. And that word of God is the code that activates it into seeing. It was designed and programmed to see in the invisible world. So now, when it hears the word of God, it activates faith so it can see in the world of the Spirit. When I say that faith hears the word of God, check this tiny little thing out. Faith cannot hear with the ears that are connected to the brain. It can only hear with the ears that are connected to the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto salvation. Faith and the heart are connected. Okay? Hope is connected to the brain. We'll see that later. But let's just go back here, and I'll just say this. Faith relates to the invisible. That is, it's the eyes that can see in the world that our eyeballs in the natural cannot see. That's why we call it invisible. If faith sees things, they're not invisible to it. So we're going to have to clarify tonight that when we say invisible, we only mean invisible to these natural eyes that are connected to our brain. Faith sees in a realm of the spirit. So anytime we need to see what's really going on, we need to activate the eyes of faith. We need to see up there. The only way we're going to make it through problems is to activate faith. Now let me go on a little bit. It says, two verses later, the writer again stresses faith's relationship to the invisible. Let's check it out in verse 3 of chapter 11, Hebrews. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen, that is our natural eye, was not made out of things which are visible. Paul also brought out the opposition between faith and sight. Check out here in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, so why did he say not by sight instead of not by hearing or not by feeling or not by speaking or not by any of our five senses? Why did he use that particular sense in opposition to faith? Because both are seeing apparatuses. Both are seeing eyes. Both have the ability to see. Not just to look, but to see. When you say to somebody, look, you're just calling their attention to something, but that doesn't give them the ability to see it. That is why Paul puts faith in opposition to sight. We walk by faith and not by sight, because faith perceives and sees an area of the world of the spirit that our personal eyes cannot see. It's contrary to our natural way of thinking. Why? Because what does the world say? The world says seeing is believing, but the Bible reverses the order. First we must believe and then we will see. What is basically believing? Believing is activating faith and going by what faith says. In other words, faith sees and sends the image to the brain that it's connected to, which is our heart. And when faith sees something and connects it to the heart now has to what do with it? Analyze it? No, that's what our brain does with the information that it sees from the eyes. It has to find a catalog for it. It has to find a place. Oh, yeah, I know what that is. That's a cat. And we can even predict its behavior and know how it moves and everything else because our brain is just so intelligent. But our heart is even more intelligent. Faith, when it's activated and it can see in the world of the spirit, it puts it into the heart and lets it know what it is. Now the heart has to make a choice. It has to choose to take the information that the brain is telling it that it is and go with that, or go with the other set of eyes. It must be very confusing to have two heads, two sets of eyes, and two sets of ears. It must be very confusing. And sometimes our body gets confused. Haven't you ever come to that place where spiritual things begin to happen left and right and say, you know what, I'm just really confused. If you're confused, it's simple to say this about confusion. Confusion only and simply means this. You're looking at two things and don't know which one to go with. You're listening to two voices and don't know which one you're going to settle with as being the one that's for you. And so confusion just simply means there's more than one bit of information for you to analyze and for you to do something with. And if one set of information that's hitting your outside brain says, go left, and your heart, through your eyeballs of your spirit, are looking into the spirit world and realize that there's danger over there at the right, you must go left. Now you've got opposing instructions in your being. So now we either walk by faith or we walk by sight. We either walk in the flesh, which is our mind and our natural eye, or we walk in the spirit. If we walk in the spirit, we'll avoid the things that would happen when we live in the flesh. That's just how simple it is. Faith is the eyeballs that sees, gets his instruction, plants it on the heart, plants the image on our heart. We also have times when we're not confused. We know that we know. Why? Because what this is seeing and what this is perceiving are identical. So now there's only one thing the heart must do, and that's put us into activation and do it. So now the heart has to decide, well, you know, I know the preacher said that. I know God said it. You know, my heart's telling me that's right. My mind's telling me it's good. It's, you know, it's cool. It's not error. It's not junk. It's the word of God. It's true. The doctrine is correct. Everything's fine. But I just don't feel like doing it. Let's just say that God has a big surprise for us. It just happens at 3 a.m. and you have to get up. Our heart has to make a choice there. Do you go for the prize or do you just keep sleeping? That's simple. You know that that's the thing, but if he did tell you what the price is, then you could weigh it in a balance and see just how worth it might be. But when he just tells you it's a surprise, how many times in life later we find out that the surprises was something we really needed and could have used? Faith imprints what it sees on the heart, and it's very important for the heart to make the decisions. Our life would be miraculously better than it is at any one point in its existence if we would learn to let our heart make the decisions of what it sees with its eyes rather than what the mind sees with his eyes. Now, this is a big trick. It's easier to say in the message, but I am finding it very difficult in life. How many times has God spoken into my spirit? Faith is triggered to look and see and sees that it's right, prints it on the heart. That's true. This is God. I know. Let's say it's a prophetic word. Your heart knows immediately that was right. But boy, coming out of the hall, there's 1,000 reasons why that couldn't be right. Faith was active. The eyeballs were instructed to see and look, and you know, you're sure the impact reached your heart because the eye was seeing and it reached the brain of your heart. However, the heart didn't activate what it was seeing and what was perceived on it in order for us to have what we call belief. You see, when the heart acts on what faith shows it, that is belief. Belief is the action of putting what faith is showing you into life. And so it's just really simple. Faith and believing are basically one. So the Word of God makes faith start looking, start seeing. When faith sees, when your eyeballs are looking and can see in the invisible world, it sees it. That is the word. It's been triggered by God. It plants it on the heart. Now we can do something with it. But let's go on here. This principle is so important that we look at in some passage of the scripture. I'm not going to go to too many here. But let's just go quickly to Psalms 27:13. And we're going to see here how David said, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Which came first, believing or seeing? I would have despaired if I hadn't believed to see. So here we find believing or faith in front of natural sight. What was true for David is also true for us. We cannot believe that which we will see the goodness of the Lord, then we're going to despair. The things that keep us from despairing is not what we see, but what we believe. What we believe. So what is believe? What are we believing? He heard God tell him that God was going to be good to him. That's why he declared after God had said that to him, God is good and his mercies endure forever. So now his heart had to act on what faith had communicated to him that God was going to be good to him in this life. God communicated that to David. His heart had to respond to that and choose that over sight because he was going through a particular circumstances in life where life wasn't being very good to him. So he had to look at the natural circumstances, or he had to activate, his heart had to activate what God had said to him, what faith was showing him was the reality, and go with that. So what did he do? The choice of going with what faith was showing him that was activated by the word of God caused him to believe. That's what believing is. He acted on what faith was showing him up there and not what his brain was looking through these natural eyes and these ears were hearing in the natural. He was having a terrible time of it back here, but he says, you know what? It had gotten so bad that I would have despaired even of life if I hadn't believed. If I hadn't made a choice to go on what faith was showing me instead of what my eyes were showing me. And so the choice that the heart makes to go with what faith is showing him as reality is what kept him from despair. And that's real good because we need that. This agrees with the statement made about Moses in Hebrews 11. And now we're going to look at verse 27 in that chapter. It says, by faith, he, Moses, left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but he endured. David said, I would have despaired. How did David endure? He endured by activating his heart on what faith had showed him by the word of God. And so he didn't despair. He didn't give over to despair and everything else. How did Moses endure? As seeing him who is unseen or invisible. Now let me ask you, if something is invisible, how can you see it? How could Jesus say, having ears, they hear not? Because he's talking about two separate ears, two different instruments that perceive sound. One is in our heart, one's in our head. Same with the eyes. He endured as seeing one that was invisible. So he wasn't talking about the eyes stuck in our head that are connected to our brain. He was talking about the eyes that are connected, because he did say, see. The eyes that are connected to the heart. And so Moses chose to go by what the eyes of his faith were indicating and seeing. It could see where the outward eyes couldn't, because the outward eyes only saw wilderness, only saw a bunch of Babash sheep. It only saw a lot of hot sun during the day and long, hard hours being out there and winds and sandstorms. Do you know what it's like to be in a sandstorm when you get, you know, sand in your teeth and in your ears and in your eyes? It's not a nice experience. All for some nasty sheep? No. He endured as seeing. He had to activate those inner eyes of faith when God had spoken to him. Now, recently, the Lord spoke a few words to me, and faith, my heart had to activate on what God said, because the circumstances and what God was saying were two different things. But the truth of the matter is that we all too often live by what we see and hear in this world, and we need to be activated in the world of faith because it releases us from this world. And yes, many times our oppositions and our trials, aren't you glad that they come to us in this world? Man, yes, if we had eyes of faith, it could see when it hears with the, when the heart hears the word of God. It doesn't do that with other stuff it hears, but when it hears the word of God, it opens the eyelids of the eyes of faith to perceive and look in the world of the Spirit. When the heart got the impact of a word of God, it's saying, hey, hey, we need to do something about it. Faith, open your eyes. Hey, look. And faith opens up and looks, and it sees the world of the Spirit, and it sees God preparing a feast for us when our natural eyes respond to what it sees here. But the heart is saying, look, faith, look, God just spoke. God said he prepared a feast in the wilderness. Open your eyes. Let me know. Is it there or isn't it? And it opens its eyes and looks and said, yes, there is a mighty feast up here. Now, the heart has to choose to either believe faith, activate, act on faith, or go by the growl in the stomach, go by the empty table, the empty bank account. Moses endured as seeing what was unseen, what was incapable of being seen with a natural eye. Look, faith, look, active look. What's God saying? When God speaks a word into your heart, when God gets a word, and you know, let me just say something here, because I need to say this, because I jumped a step just not to bring so many steps at once, and it complicates things. But you know, we can hear stuff with our ears, even a word of God, a prophetic word through somebody, or God speaking through his word through our eyes, and the heart never got it because we just dismiss it. We're in one of these yawny mornings when we're reading the word or whatever, and we're just not listening. The heart isn't open to receive. The head received it, but the heart did not. The heart has to hear the word of God, has to hear it. That's why Jesus said, having ears, they hear not. And the heart has to hear in order to activate faith. Wake up. Look, there's something for us to see. What did faith see for Moses? Faith for Moses saw him conquering Egypt, leading the people out into the wilderness, serving God on the same mountain he was standing on. Faith saw and endured the whole long 40 years on the wilderness because faith kept seeing that on that same wilderness he was there with 2 million people. He'd open his eyes, rub them, take off the glasses they didn't have in those days, squint, but he didn't see 2 million people. Bah, bah. All he saw is just a few hundred sheep. He'd squint again and look, and the heart kept telling him, 2 million people, look at him. I can't see him. He endured because his heart made a choice to go by what his eyes of faith were seeing rather than what his eyeballs were seeing and telling him. That's how he endured. Well, let me transport you 40 years later. When this man standing on the wilderness up on Mount Sinai, he's looking from the mountain and there's 2 million people out there. Faith nudges him and says, I told you. I saw this. I saw this. This is what I told you I could see. Now your natural eyes see what I could see. Wake up. So that brings me to something that we're going to go into here. Faith not only sees, but faith sights are never far away. Faith has a way of seeing things in the present. So in order to do that, it has to travel to the day that God's fulfillment of that prophecy is going to be. Faith can only see in the present. When faith looks, it sees 2 million people out in the wilderness. We got to wait 40 years. So what did faith do? Faith got transported 40 years ahead and saw. Did not John the Revelator see the end of the world and all the things that happened in it? Well, did they happen in his day? Did they happen on the day he was transported out of his body and came back? No. So evidently, when his eyes of faith and his spiritual eyes got awakened by God, he got transported. But somehow he got off course and he was taken to the day when that actually happened. Now, his eyes of faith that saw all that get transported back into the now, which weren't underneath that. They were way over here. John wakes up and says, we're at the end of the world. The Antichrist's already here. I saw everything that's going to happen. Well, listen, I can't die before any of this stuff happens. I'm telling you, I've been there. My eyes of faith saw it. What he didn't realize is that he was transported up here. Who knows how far? Did he see it? Yes. Did his eyes of faith see it? Yes. Was it true? Yes. Are we going to walk into the time slot where that happens? Yes. The eyes of faith, Moses, that helped him endure as seeing that which is invisible, was about 40 years off. It could see 40 years ahead. But faith lives in the present. Faith lives in the now. Is God the God that was, or the God that will be, or is he the God that is? So, when faith goes up and sees in God, does it see now? Yes. So faith, because it doesn't know where it was in time, believes that that is now. Faith went up there and saw my body totally healed, so it says, I am healed. Hope says, well, I hope that's true. Is the manifestation of it there because faith saw it? No. faith saw it. Because faith heard the word that by my stripes you are healed. It went backwards and saw when he was striped. And it came back to today in my body and saw that I was sick. And it says, I am healed. I saw it. His word said it. When I heard those words by reading it or by hearing or because someone declared Isaiah's prophecy, I had something, my ears nudged me and said, you better look. And so faith looks and says, you're healed. I'm scratching my head and say, I feel as nasty as I did yesterday. What I want is the material. I want to walk into whatever time faith went into. But if I just keep walking in life, I keep walking into it. Faith is what goes up there and sees it's true, declares the truth to you, and from then on we have to live as though it's true. Who cares about the manifestation? It is true. I am healed. Well, my blood pressure didn't come down. I'm healed. My eyes tell me one thing. My ears tell me another thing. Natural world tells me another thing. And my eyes of faith tell me yet something different. So my heart now has to decide. Here's where the confusion is. All my outward life and my feelings and my pain and my whatever is informing my heart that what it's feeling isn't right. Faith, on the other hand, says, I'm not going to go back on what I saw. I saw it. That's the way it is. I heard the word of God. It activated me. I opened my eyes. I saw him flogged at a pole, and you are healed. So the heart says, do I go with this or do I go with this? And sometimes, because the heart just doesn't know what to do, you get up on Monday and it's this. You get up on Tuesday and it's that. You get up on Wednesday and it's this. You get up on Thursday and it's that. The heart has to decide which one you're going to go. Because when the heart decides for this, the eyes of your spirit drive it nuts. And when you go this way and you start living by faith and you say, hey, great, praise the Lord. And then you look at your hands all gnarly and you look at your back that just won't walk you across the floor. And then you start telling people, I'm healed. Praise the Lord, I'm healed. And they're going to look at you over their glasses. It's not that you're lying. You're just declaring what faith saw and what is true. The materializing is a different story. Why? Because it's up to us to decide to go by what faith saw. It's up to God to make happen what faith saw. That's the difference. He's the one that makes it happen. So, Moses endured as seeing him that was invisible. But in spite of that that was against him, he endured because he was able to see the unseen. How do you do this? Faith enables us to see the unseen and thus enables us to endure when the visible world offers us no hope and no encouragement. But why? Because they're in conflict. How many of us have realized through life that there's a lot of things that are in conflict with faith? Sometimes I just like to stand up and say, you're a liar. But God says, I'm not a liar. Faith says, I saw what he showed me and what he said, and he's not a liar, and what I saw, I saw. I mean, you cannot go by what I saw, but I saw and I saw. That's it. So the heart has to make a simple decision. That's why we say, only believe. What is belief? The choice your heart makes to act on what faith saw rather than on what your natural eye saw. To go by on what faith heard instead on what everything else and everybody else is saying down here in this earth. What is unbelief? Unbelief is making the choice to live in the natural instead of the spiritual. Going by what you see in the natural and hear in the natural rather than what I hear in the spiritual. If my heart activates the eyes of faith and acts on that, that is believing. If it chooses to go by what my natural eye sees, that's unbelief. So let's go on. Now we turn to the record of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And in the 11th chapter of John, we read Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there'll be stench, you know, because he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus still said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. So now, faith activated in the heart of Jesus and saw Lazarus alive on this earth after dead. So faith declared, we're going to see the glory of God. This man's going to live. Jesus' eyes had seen the Father raise Lazarus from the dead. He was acting on faith. His heart had made that choice. But when he repeated the same words to Martha and Mary, they said, well, we know he's going to rise and walk and be alive again, however, not on this earth. So they didn't deny what he saw. They just put a little kink in what he saw. It was a matter of where and when. Jesus said to them, if you will just go on what I said to you and make the choice to believe, act on what I have seen, act on faith, you will see the glory of God. Not in the by and by, in the pie in the sky. You will see it now. You will see the glory of God. If you believe, you will see. So, here's what we're seeing. Here's what we're teaching. That when faith sees in the invisible and we make a choice to go by its information, then our natural eyes will end up seeing what our spirit eyes saw, and everything that it had seen up till now will come to an end because it will have to give way to what the eyes of our spirit saw. If you will believe, act on what faith saw, you will see down here in the natural what the eyes saw up there, the glory of God. One of the two have to be corrected. They can't both keep seeing contrary to one another. One of them has to be wrong. And you know, most of the time, it's our outward eyes that have to admit in the end, I was wrong. It's our outward perceptions, our outward feelings, our outward moods, our outward everything that have to come to the conclusion, I was wrong. Because these people that said, well, I know in the sky by and by, maybe in the great resurrection, saw the glory of God, just like he said. Now, because he couldn't get it into their head, then he made them act on the faith by saying, you go and remove that stone. Well, he stinks. Remove the stone. I don't care how much he stinks. Remove the stone. If you'll remove it, then you're acting on what I'm telling you, on this word and on the revelation that I've had from heaven and on the declaration that I have that he's going to live, and you will see the glory of the Lord. You will see your brother walk out of there. Just remove the stone. Act on it. Do something to act on the word that I give you. And when they remove the stone, Jesus declares him free, and out, contrary to everybody, comes a mummy wrapped completely to where you can't walk. So how'd he get out? He was just levitating off the ground and coming out. But you see, the outward eyes have to come to the place where they admit, I was wrong. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:17, and it says, for the lightness of our present affliction works out in us a far more excellent and eternal weight of glory. While we look, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, that's our outward eyes, but at the things which are not seen. So now we're not talking about outward eyes anymore. For the things that are seen, they are temporal, but the things which are not seen are everlasting or eternal. There is a great difference in the word while. Look at verse 18 real close. I don't know if all of your translations show this. The Revised Standard does, and some others do. But it says, for the lightness of our present affliction, or for our light affliction, others say, that work out for us a far more excellent and eternal weight of glory while we look not at the things which are seen. While we look not at the things that are seen. While we work not at the things that are seen. While. The things that our eyes of faith see keep working while we keep looking through its eyes and going by what it says. But it quits working when we go by what our natural eyes see. While we look at the things that cannot be seen. So that means that as long as my heart decides to go by what the eyes of faith see, the eyes of my spirit see, and don't go by the outward things I hear and see, then what faith is looking at is working for me a higher weight of glory. God gets a chance to work with my personality, with my character, develop faith, develop belief, develop my spiritual man. And all of this keeps happening. This weight of glory keeps happening while I choose to look at the invisible things that are not seen and not the temporal ones that are. Basically, what this verse is saying is that we have two eyes, and while our heart decides to look at the visible things, it will work no weight of glory for us. You'll just go through the afflictions, and that's the end of it. It'll just fizzle out. It's something that was meant to do something for you and fizzles out, and you end up with nothing in your life. If we force our heart to make the choice to go by what our spiritual eyes say and that is heard from God and seen from God and hang on to that no matter what my eyes and the natural see in the temporal world, it's working out for me a much higher weight of glory. While we look at the things that are unseen. So praise the Lord for that.